Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Dr. Lyra Greaves. Kia ora, Lyra. How are you this morning?
Morning. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. It's nice to chat with you. You've just been over in the UK, which leads neatly into the first thing we're going to talk about, which is the Queen's funeral and also just the general media response to the Queen's death. What has been some of the big things you've taken away from the last couple of weeks?
Yes, so it was a very strange experience for me to be over in the UK while all this happened. I remember first watching the Liz Truss, her first speech as Prime Minister, and being like, oh, it's really interesting to be here while this is happening, and then the Queen passing on. And the atmosphere in Scotland and in London when we went to was very strange and really a bit surreal. You know, instantly from the announcement of the Queen's death, there were security guards around St. Giles Cathedral, and you could see all of the things getting put in place.
Wow.
Now, the tone in the British media was very different to what I could see happening in New Zealand, and mm-hmm. it was actually quite hard to try to figure out. You know, I'm running research projects at the moment just to figure out with my research assistants where New Zealand was sitting on things and where Māori was sitting on things. So I think it's been an interesting balance for people to strike between trying to have a discussion about broader constitutional issues and yeah. republicanism and Te Tiriti and all of that, plus then trying to also respect the fact that someone who's quite important to a lot of people has passed away. So that balance has been incredibly hard to strike, and I think we've seen pushback on either side there.
Mm. That has been an interesting sort of, I guess, stalemate almost in the conversation, as people haven't quite been able to work out where to land in having a kōrero about this at the moment. If we look at these bigger constitutional issues, the Queen dying does pose some really massive changes potentially for us in Aotearoa. She's been a very beloved by many figurehead of the state. But perhaps Charles is not going to fill that same role. Maybe we will be seeing some conversations about moving away from that. Is that something that you think we are going to have a bit more of a kōrero about as a nation?
I would say yes, and I would say that it's happening already. I think there's a large amount of educational work around, like, who the head of state is in New Zealand. I don't think, like, even in first year New Zealand politics, I think 10, 20% of the students, even in the exam, still say Jacinda Ardern's the head of state. And you're like, no, that's not it. Because people don't know this or think about this. So I think one of the main things that will spark interest in people is the funeral and coronation and the sort of cultural abstraction of that it's quite different from what New Zealanders see, face, our ceremonies on a day-to-day basis. So I think that that's something that will start some people thinking. And I think that this is going to be partially a generational divide as well.
Mm-hmm.
But generally in polls, what we've seen over the years, depending on the way that the question's asked, people are feeling neutral. Like, if we had a referendum on it, it would probably be pretty close. What we've seen in similar countries, though, is what it comes down to is really thinking about what that alternative structure would be. And the elephant in the room is that that would probably involve there being more politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And people are probably not going to be keen on that. But I think over the years, I totally agree with what Jacinda Ardern and others have said, that this is something that will happen within our lifetimes, that we will move to a different constitutional arrangement, we will move to a republic. But it's just that thing of, when will there be the spark or the impetus on behalf of the public? And I'm not sure if that's happened yet, but it's one of those things where we just need to see over the next couple of years whether someone actually really does push for that, because do people care enough? That's that fundamental thing. Do people care enough for a referendum? Do they care enough to invest the time in the conversation?
One of the things that seems to be, I guess, policymakers and folks who work in that space have been talking about being potentially quite a tricky part of this conversation is, where does Te Tiriti fit into this conversation about becoming a republic? And, you know, there's also arguments about we're not able to necessarily recognise it properly as a document, the closest thing we've got to a constitutional document at the moment. So what would it mean to be having these conversations about moving away from our current governance structure? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the thing is that it wouldn't just happen like in the next 2 years or something.
Yeah.
This would be something that's a longer term constitutional change. So hopefully the Ngāpuhi tree settlement will be done at some point in the future, and some of the other ones that are still going through at the moment. Shout out to Mokai Pātea. I was down in Taihape earlier in the week as well. But you know, there's various other iwi going through these settlements. It wouldn't be this huge like, and I've heard different academics debate it in different spaces, that you can just change the words and then the partnership is with the government rather than the crown.
Mm.
Like, you know, because people do pose this and what that means symbolically. And then what the fuck-a-papa of King Charles means symbolically around the forming of the treaty and those sorts of things. But ultimately, you can just change the terminology. And I think that the time scale of this means that that's not necessarily something that should be a big concern for us.
Mm, okay, well, that's interesting. We should talk a little bit about what's happening in the National Party, because that has been, something that's been happening at the same time as the Queen's funeral, and that has dominated the media. But Sam Uffendale has the report into his behaviour, particularly around the allegations of his behaviour at the University of Otago, laid out by an ex-flatmate of his, has come through. This is the Maria Jo Casey report. And it's basically, well, the National Party has said it's cleared him of any potential wrongdoing here, and he is now remaining in the party. This has obviously not been taken well by a lot of the public and by the media. Mm. What are your thoughts about this?
Oh, it's that thing wherever I get a call from someone to be like, can you come on and do this? And I know that it's when politicians are behaving badly. So I really want to talk about, like, yeah, the constitution and electoral law and the treaty and data policy and all. But it's actually what we end up doing a lot of the time is talking about the management of different MPs and MPs behaving badly. And it always comes back to, I mean, ask some of your most talented, smartest, most awesome friends, would you want to be an MP? And they go, oh, yuck, no.
Mm.
So, kind of coming back to this broader parliament working conditions and the way that parties are set up. And it's so disappointing when we end up having to spend time talking about this, because we do actually want to make sure that people who have kind of things in their past that they're not proud of can become MPs. But I think this whole broader thing still speaks to how this was handled and the political knack of people involved. Mm. So I think of a lot of us kind of in that political science space talking about this would have had Sam Uffendale come out and say, hey, I did this in the past, I've had some anger issues, I've worked on them, and do a charity fun run or Fight for Life or like something along those lines. You know, that's a real classic strategy there. And the fact that there are not people within those structures, within National and Labor as well, but within National, that there are not those people within those structures giving that really common sense advice is concerning. And I think it really presents a challenge for Luxon to be able to stand on that stage in 2023 and to be able to attack Labor and Labor's record. I think that management thing there, really, he just needs to make sure that he looks like the whole team's under control. And that is also really tough when those are still, like Uffendale was still selected under those old roles and that old management and regime and president. So, tough challenge for him.
Yeah, tough one indeed. That will be interesting to watch. Let's talk local government now. People should be receiving their voting papers if they haven't already. And it's looking like a close race in the mayoralty here in Tamaki Makaurau. What's your, I guess, biggest notable thing going on with our local government elections at the moment?
Well, honestly, for me, I'm like trying to figure out how I'm going to vote, because I don't even know where, like, I'm literally on the electoral law reform panel, you know, and I don't actually know where I'm enrolled to vote.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go figure out how to get my papers. I'm literally doing this all day, like edited the textbook on this topic. Like, where are my voting papers? And then where do I go? Somewhere on Federal Street? So that's actually the biggest challenge, is that one. Is firstly, like, actually getting people to vote, because I literally, it's my thing and I can't do it.
Yeah.
So, so if you've got your voting papers for a voting party, get people to turn out, because actually it's still turnout is the biggest issue, is that actually the people who will be deciding on the mayor, it's just all is it going to be those who turn out? That's a turnout game. I'm sure that Afesa Collins and his campaign understand that quite well, especially drawing on that Labor Party machine that has been so good at turning people out over the years. And they do have some pretty advanced databases on how to try to really motivate people and target people. But I think it's still going to be fundamentally about people turning out to vote, people using tools like the policy tool on the spin-off hosts.
Yep.
And just Googling your candidates, really, reading your little book and going through that sort of ritual, that routine, and actually just trying to get the people around you to vote as well, because there's still the issue of, the people being elected not having a mandate, and some of those people at that local board level Yeah, just trying to get. Let's just all vote, really. I'll figure it out.
I think it's
on Federal Street. I don't know. I'll Google it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lara Greaves, for your time this morning. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Cheers.
Good luck finding the polling booth.
Oh, I think it's over there somewhere. Who knows?
See ya.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
Definitely.